Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm Joel Fregimini. Going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. We got a great interview in a couple of minutes here with Brian McCree, our headliner this weekend. But let's tell you what's going on. It's a holiday week, right? A little different, but a lot of fun stuff here, including tonight as I'm recording this, November 26th at 7:30 p.m. The Detroit to L.A. semifinals are round two. So this will be the final folks making it in to the finals of the Detroit to L.A. comedy competition. Jason Filan-Marez is going to be the MC. He was on this show just a few weeks ago, and a lot of fun people, without giving you any favorites. Mike Boone, Rom Kelly, Heather Sinnow, Barb Modrak, all comics I really enjoy watching. Smata Adams, I think, is going to be closing it out, or maybe he's a contestant. I don't even know. But so much talent. It's $10. Detroit to L.A., that's tonight at 7:30 p.m. You get to vote. Going to be a great show this evening. And then tomorrow night on Wednesday, we've got a very special night before Thanksgiving show. Yeah. Where we give you a little bit of a special lineup. It's seven comics, so it's not quite the open mic, so people can be doing a little bit more time. Some really funny comics on there. Ella Horwedel, I've seen a million times. Demetrius Fields won Detroit to L.A. a few years ago. Trey Stewart closes it out, and it's going to be a great night on Wednesday night. So, you know, you don't have to work the next night. You can come out. That's at 7:30. Again, ComedyCastle.com has all your tickets for these shows. And then Friday night, so enjoy your Thanksgiving on Thursday. Friday, November 29th. We've got Brian McCree in the house. It's going to be a great night with Brian. James Gregg opening and Tanya Murray our feature. We're going to talk to Brian a little bit, but Brian has been all over the country doing comedy. And he's got a great story, a great history at the Comedy Castle. And as you'll hear in our interview, one of my favorites to work with on the road. Always fun talking to Brian. And yeah, great show for you on Friday at 7:15 and 9:45. And then we've got Saturday shows. That's right, Saturday, 7 and 9:30 on Saturday night, November 30th. Bring the family out to Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle this weekend. So if you got kids, grandparents, they'll enjoy the show with Brian McCree. He's always fun. He's one of the best guys around, and we'll see him this weekend. All right? Okay. We'll talk to Brian in a minute, and I'll give you a little more setup on that. But just to finish some things off here, round out Ben Bailey last week. Great talk with Ben. That continued over the weekend. Some of the best shows of the year, I think, that Ben Bailey, John Bush, and Kate Brindle put on this past weekend. Really fun. Ben's a great dude to hang with, to talk to. Seems like a great guy. He does a bit about how he's not Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs. I called him Mike several times in the green room and felt like an idiot. And I don't know if he liked that all that much, but Ben's a sweet man who I really enjoy, and really some of the funniest shows. Check out his new special. We plugged it on YouTube for you to watch. And his new special on YouTube is great. Very different from what he did at the Comedy Castle. He's kept working on that new hour. That'll be a special probably sometimes next year. But if you came to the Comedy Castle, you saw a great one. And Brian McCree this weekend. Let's talk about Brian. I mean, I've worked with Brian. Really, he was a headliner when I started. All right. So he tells us in this interview how he got into this game. Out of Flint, Michigan. And it tells us about growing up in Flint, starting comedy in Flint, how improv made a name for him in stand-up comedy. And he got to work with a lot of famous folks over the years. You'll hear some of those names and those stories. He also comes from a very historic family in Flint, Michigan. He'll tell you about that one. We do a lot of talking about the good old days or the bad old days, as I think the story you'll hear at the beginning. Me and him doing one-nighters, two comic shows, 30-minute opener, an hour to close. Not always great venues, and you'll hear about those. Those are, I think, funny stories. And we'll talk about what was on TV back in the day. He does a great story about seeing Rich Little and of course, the Impressionist. If you're not old enough to know Rich Little, he was everywhere. Did all the impressions of all the old Hollywood stars. And he'll tell you about Rich Little. He saw him live. That's a really funny story. It's just so much good stuff. I think for a holiday, you want some comfort. You want something that's going to make you feel, warm inside with your friends and family, and thinking about the old times is something we all do sitting around the Thanksgiving dinner table. And that's kind of what we did here with Brian McCree. All right. And we're going to listen to this. We'll come back and talk a little bit more and get you out of here, everybody. Here's Brian McCree. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it's one of my oldest friends in comedy. It's always fun to do these interviews with guys I've known forever. Brian McCree, welcome to the Comedy Castle podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thanks for having me, Joel.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's been... I just marked a couple weeks ago was my 25th anniversary of comedy.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a landmark.
It is a landmark. And then I'm thinking about, you know, who's around from then. And, you know, you were one of the guys headlining shows when I started.
Yeah, it's been, I started in 1981.
Ooh-wee.
So. Yeah, yeah, do some math there.
So, yeah.
You dude, I remember you and I at the Bull Ring. I thought you were the white guy. I thought they were going to lynch you.
Okay, so that place might be my least favorite venue I've ever played in 25 years of comedy.
Is that right?
It really, and I performed at the Gathering of the Juggalos many times, right?
Right.
I mean, the Bull Ring.
You're like family. You're like family over there, though.
I guess so. But here's the thing about the Bull Ring. So what town is Bull Ring? It's up.
Goodrich, Michigan.
Goodrich, Michigan. Don't go there. Here's my point, though. I think it was just a thing where this audience is sitting down and they're like consuming a meal.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, as the opener, I would go up there and I think it was just two comics. So you were cold, right? You just went up cold.
Yeah.
That's the feature thing
about it. Yeah, it was just a two-man show, and you go up, and people are finishing dinner, and it's a hard show to open.
And I definitely look. I have looked back in 25 years, and I think I've grown as a performer, Brian, in this way.
Right. I was just, you know, comics ain't shit because we laugh at the wrong stuff.
Exactly,
you know?
But honestly, what I've learned from standing in the back of the room at the Comedy Castle is you can't force this stuff on people. And
no.
I think as a young comedian, I would give them the jokes that I knew would work at places like the Comedy Castle. And when I got to the Bull Ring, I'm like, these jokes are funny. I know that. I did them at the Comedy Castle last week. And when they wouldn't laugh, I would just double down on the jokes.
Yeah. There's such a different dynamic from Royal Oak to Goodrich, Michigan. You know?
And so what I would do now in that case is, okay, you're not into the jokes. Maybe I would do a little crowd work. Maybe I would make it a little harder on myself or just not care or whatever it was. But I cared so much about doing well because, you know, you all heard those stories. And these were true about, well, if your show's not good, it's going to get back to the agent. And when John Yoder hears that you didn't do well, you're not going to work any of these rooms. You know,
right.
It was every gig felt like life and death.
Well, back then, too, they could fill your calendar.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, it's like, here's the worst gig on they got. And if you don't do good on it, you can't do Dr. Grins and Connections and these good places that you want to play. And so it was like, you know, I was living on comedy money, which isn't something I suggest people do until they're a little more established. But, you know, I got the advice to not have a day job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough gig right there.
I definitely was sort of a little high strung and thinking about the Bull Ring and stuff. But that was always a thing when I worked with you. And those guys that, you know, that I worked with regularly back then, is you guys would always have a nice show.
Yeah, you know, it's...
You made it work.
It's easy to ride the wave, though. Yeah. You know, I respect openers because it's a tough gig, man.
It is. It's still tough.
People are just settling in, and they have high expectations, you know, and... Yeah, and the Bull Ring is just... It's a bunch of mouth breathers, man. I love the shit.
Do they still have shows?
The owners are good friends of mine, but, you know, there's some mouth breathers in there that come to the show.
Listen, when you see them this holidays, tell them Joel said... No, don't tell him anything. We never talked. Keep that between us. But here's the thing. Forget about the bullring. Let's talk about Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, because this is a return to the stage. You said before we started here, not since the pandemic have you been on our stage at the Comedy Castle.
Yeah, before the pandemic. And, you know, everything now is before or after pandemic. Yep. You know, that's the benchmark now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's good to have you back. I mean, I got to imagine you starting in 81 would have been one of the earliest comics on the club, right?
Local. Yeah. You know, the thing about it is when I started back in 81, I was basically really local, like here in Flint.
Okay.
I hadn't really been introduced to the Detroit market yet. So I was doing stuff like back then there were gong shows and... You know, it's kind of like today where people invent their own venues.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I used to open for male strippers, female strippers.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it was just a kind of make your own landscape kind of thing back then.
Yeah.
And then I started doing comedy improv in the mid 80s. Mm-hmm. And then I met a guy doing improv. I met a guy that came out of Detroit, actually, named Jonathan Round.
Okay.
And Jonathan Round was a improv god, you know. Mm-hmm. He was a teacher, a performer, director. And we had the good fortune of getting John Round to come in and direct our improv troupe.
Okay.
So John Round actually introduced me to the Detroit market.
Mm.
And I started going to Chaplin's on Mondays. The new comedy night would mm-hmm. be there. And then, you know, of course, the Castle, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the Castle is the benchmark, man. You know, you know, you've rounded the corner in your career if you get to play the Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which was always special.
Did you work with big names back in like that 80s boom period of the comedy clubs?
I did. I worked, I opened for Sinbad.
Oh, wow.
I used to do concerts. A good friend of mine who lived on my street growing up got into producing concerts. And I opened for the Isley Brothers.
Oh, wow.
Shit. Angela Wimbush, Cameo.
All right. Yeah, Cameo.
Yeah, word up. Yeah. So, yeah, it used to do a lot of crazy stuff back then.
Nice. Yeah.
And the Castle, you know, I'll tell you some history about the Castle, okay. Joel.
Yeah.
I was featuring for a guy named Mark Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark was nice enough to let me do something very special before him. I proposed to the woman I've been married to 23 years now on stage there at the Comedy Castle.
Nice. Well, congratulations. That's me.
Thank you.
That's me applauding. And as I walk down the aisle in 3 months, I'm applauding 23 years.
Oh, so. Congratulations, yes. Man.
Yes. That will that if I do 23 years, that'll take me right to the grave. So I'm...
Just like that, Joel. Just
I'm doing the math in my head. Yeah, that'll be good. 23. That's all, you know. And she'll have a few years to have fun when I'm gone. So that'll be good.
All right.
We got a little age difference thing. Nothing illegal, but, you know.
Oh, good. Oh, okay, good. All right. And I never know. It could be up. You know, she could be a senior citizen. We don't know.
Hey, you never know. You know, that thing that that starting out in comedy, improv, now that took you places, right? That you were known as an improv guy to some degree? Yeah.
Yep. Was known as an improv guy. Matter of fact, one of the early... My dogs, man. I you know, it's like I got this red Doberman.
Oh.
And yeah, he doesn't fuck around. I feel bad for him. Because I almost wish we lived in a worse neighborhood so he'd have more work to do.
Right.
But we live in a nice middle class neighborhood.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's bullshit crime.
I hear you.
Yeah. So anyway, what the hell was I talking about before?
Improv. Improv giving you opportunities.
Yes, yes. So actually, we started at the, we did gigs at the Holly Hotel.
Oh,
back
yeah.
Then.
There you go.
Back in the mid 80s. And that was my introduction to that venue. So yeah, the improv opened a lot of doors for me in the stand up world.
Nice. Yeah, because improv now, I don't know. I feel like it's all stand up now. Improv guys just kind of, you know, it's sort of cyclical a little bit, isn't it? It's weird.
It seems like improv is coming back a little
all
bit,
right.
though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, money wise, you know, was the big thing. Yeah, you can't make a lot of money if you're in an improv troupe.
Bill Hildebrand told me, I think I asked him, I must have been 3 months in or something. I said, Bill, should I do improv? And he said, do you want to split the check five ways? And that was how I learned. That was my worldview on improv at that point.
And Bill Hildebrand was the best at advice, you know?
Yeah, he was. He was tremendous. I miss
that
guy.
He was blunt. Yeah. He knew the business. Yeah, I miss Hildebrand.
Yeah, we're losing a lot of, so I'm glad you're still around, man. We're losing people.
Oh, hallelujah.
Just lost Norm, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, Ricardo Flanagan, was a shock.
That was a big one, yeah. Speaking of
over COVID, you know.
People always said, I don't know anyone who died of COVID. And people go like, I don't know anyone who died of COVID. And I'm like, Ricardo Flanagan, right
Thank
there,
you.
Healthy young man.
Yeah, yeah, I know a shit ton of people. Those people that don't believe COVID was real. It was fucking real as hell around here.
Sure
in Flint.
Was, man.
People were dropping like flies, dudes.
Well. But we're doing better now. It's the holidays coming up. Because you're really performing, you know, Black Friday with Brian McCree, Comedy Castle. But that's always a big night at the club. That night after Thanksgiving, families are together. People are in from out of town. People make it out to the Comedy Castle.
Yeah, people are sick of each other by Friday. They've had dinner. They've tolerated grandma's shit, you know. They're ready to get out of the fucking house, man, and go see some comedy.
Have a drink and a laugh with you, dude. It's
hell yeah. And, you know, Black Friday for me is because, you know, it's just Friday.
I didn't want to go there, but, you know, yeah.
I know you wanted to, Joel.
No, I set you up, baby. I'm.
Thank you. Thank you. You lobbed that. You lobbed it right in there. Appreciate it.
you got holiday plans? What do you do on Thanksgiving?
Well, I'm going to spend it with the white folks.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've got white people, Joel.
Yeah. All right.
Doesn't that sound like.
That's all right.
Doesn't that sound like an affliction?
Listen, I'm marrying into a half Middle Eastern family. So, you know.
Oh, there you go. So you'll understand.
Quickly. I got Italians, Middle Eastern people, Chaldeans, the whole thing.
And see, people don't realize how complicated it is celebrating holidays interracially, you know, with black and white people, for instance, like just with the menu alone, Joe, you don't know what to serve. I mean, think about it. Collard greens versus green beans.
Sure, there you
go. Sweet potato pie versus pumpkin pie.
There you go.
Rock versus powder. You know, you got choices, people.
I didn't set you up for that one, but that was slick. I got to give you all props on that one, baby. I like
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm a comic.
You are, man. You got jokes. I always loved to. I loved your. I mean, that's one of the things I'm really forward to seeing your set again. I can't remember the last time I saw. Because I was telling you before we started, I'd only see guys at the Comedy Castle because you and I would be at the Holly Hotel and all of these, the Bullring and stuff, just constantly together.
Yeah, we worked
doing
a
these
lot
little,
together.
Doing these little shows and always having fun with you off stage. You know, it was always one of the things that I enjoyed. And you saved me once. You remember saving my gig that I booked? You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
The
your
bowling
guy
alley.
In New York or something, right?
The guy was trying. I'm not going to say his name because I like that guy, but he really.
We all like it.
He hurt me. He hurt me that day.
I get it. He's hurt me before, too.
Yeah. So. And he just called. I get a call. So I was booking it was a Commerce Township bar in a bowling alley. Which sounds terrible, but it actually was a nice room. It actually was a little nice room.
You'd be surprised how good bowling alleys
can be, right? And this is a thing, you know, I'm already working at the Comedy Castle every night, so I'm not even at this venue most nights for the show. I'm just putting it together, trusting comics that I've met all the way down the road, and it must have been 3 o'clock on show day, you know, for an 8 o'clock show. I get a phone call. I'm trapped in New York and I can't make it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And this dude, and I was like, who do I call in? You might have been the first call I made and you came out and did it that night.
It was awesome to be able to do that, man. Yeah, I know how that feels. Oh, that was a helpless, horrible feeling because, you know, they're counting on you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. See, that's the thing.
You don't want to be up there roller skating and twirling plates and shit. You
know? But see, without me being there, I don't even know who else I had booked on. I don't even remember who was booked on that show. But my goodness, the lineup. If you didn't say yes, I'm not sure how deep... how deep I go into the Rolodex, you know. You, like I said, you were probably the first call, so
I appreciate it.
You know, because there's certain guys where you just go, you know, hey, here's the deal. You know, I got booked two guys to replace the guy that's stuck in New York. Or I got to do this.
Right.
We get Brian McCree out there. Yeah, that was so nice of you, man. That was amazing.
Oh, not a problem, dude. You're a friend. You know.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Well, let's talk about Flint. Growing up in Flint.
Flint. Yeah. Growing up in Flint was the best.
Was it? I'll go out. Flint was booming, right?
It was booming. It was a shop town, man. Everybody had a job.
Yeah.
Even the bums had jobs, you know? You know, there were no homeless people.
Yeah.
You know, back then you at least had a fucking car to live in.
Yeah.
You
know?
But yeah, Flint was the best growing up.
Yeah.
And as you know, I'm from a historical family here, so it was a little different for us also.
Yeah, tell everybody about that.
Yeah, my Uncle Floyd J. McCree was historically, you can look it up, he was one of the first black mayors of a metropolitan city in the United States of America.
Amazing.
Yeah, so... that was a whole mind fuck right there, being related to him. And, you know, this is a man who, you know, which I didn't realize the threat he was under back in the
60s. In the 60s? Even that's, doing when he, that's when he got elected, the 60s?
Yeah, wow. 66, dude.
Yeah.
So, and I went to visit my uncle one day at his office with my dad, and he kicked back in his chair, and I saw his pistol on his hip. I was like, oh, wow. Oh, fuck. What is happening? Uncle don't mess around.
Yeah.
But come to find out, he had received death threats. And yeah, it was crazy back then.
That's wild. Yeah.
We lost him back in 1988. Mm. He died. He didn't. We weren't at the mall, you know. So it was the biggest funeral I'd ever seen in my life, really? Joel.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing, you know, that first, you know, I mean, I know growing up with Coleman Young in Detroit, that man was a god in Detroit, first black mayor of Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, see, my uncle wasn't as bombastic as as he was, but my uncle was smooth, man.
Mm, nice.
Yeah. So that was different.
Yeah.
You know, but I always tell my kids they missed it. Because Flint was the best. I remember riding my bike down I-69 when it was just dirt when they were building it.
Man.
Yeah, dude. They split our neighborhoods up, and good friends of mine got trapped on the other side of the freeway.
Really? Well.
Yeah, and we had to go to different schools. And...
yeah, but see, but you have that easy access to Port Huron whenever you want.
You're right.
That's just what all the Flint residents wanted. Like,
easy access to Port Huron. Right?
Yes. Get me to the Blue Water Bridge. Sarnia, here we come.
There you go. That was Sarnia. Sarnia, matter of fact, that's one of the places I opened for strippers at.
Well, they had the good strip clubs back then.
Oh, they might still. They did.
I don't know. I haven't been to Sarnia in a minute, but
It's been a long time. I go through there sometime. But yeah, that was back in the full Bush days, you know.
Yeah, right.
women take it down to the bare floor now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well that was you know, being a 19-year-old. In Detroit, that was our thing, right? You go to Windsor.
Mm.
The Windsor Ballet, as they called it.
Is that what they called it? Yeah, because you could drink over there, too,
you could
right?
drink over there, and the girls were fully naked at the strip club. It was amazing. Now, let me ask you this, speaking of back in the day, did you ever work, was it Leo DeForest Club was under the strip club, or it was over the strip club? Did you ever do that gig?
You know what? I never did Leo's.
I heard that story about that one, yeah.
Yeah. You know, being from Flint, it might as well have been another country back then. You know, it's just, you know, it's easy for Detroiters just to cross the bridge.
And yeah.
It's more than an ocean for brothers coming from Flint across the bridge. Where am I gonna stash my weed, yeah. Joel?
But now I feel like when you leave Detroit, it almost doesn't end, and then you're in Flint. Like, it's so developed north now,
true,
along I-75 through Grand Blanc and all that stuff, that it kind of never ends.
It really doesn't, even down like 24, because I met my wife in Oxford.
Okay, yeah.
At another long lost club we probably did together, Miss Kitty's.
Yeah, remember, okay, Miss Kitty's? Yeah, sure. That's had a couple of different names. I think they ran a show there recently, someone was telling me.
No way.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called now. I don't know. But we were talking about something that was Miss Kitty's, and then it was something else. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I met her there, and there was nothing in Oxford back then.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you drive up 24, just like you said, you know, it's just all developed.
Yeah, it never ends. So Flint is in Detroit are joining.
Pretty much. I mean, Flint's becoming a Detroit suburb, right?
Becoming a Detroit suburb. It's really.
Yeah, that's another thing that cracks me up about Detroit. You know, everybody says they're from Detroit. Five people are actually from Detroit.
I'm not. Well, look, I'm from Ferndale. I'm just outside.
Yeah, see.
9 Mile, baby.
9 Mile, right. that's,
if you're from out of town, you heard of 8 Mile, right? I'm from 9 Mile.
Right.
That's one more. That's even harder.
One street over. That's right. Not famous for shit.
That's right. 9 Mile. We do the Pride Parade there. Don't tell anybody, but that's what we do there.
Hey.
I'm proud of that. Amazing. That's amazing.
It's a good time. You know?
I love living in Ferndale. I haven't lived here my whole life.
Yeah, it's the best. The gays are underrated, man. You got to give them props.
And it's a nice, diverse community that I'm living in. And I'm all right.
I heard that. That's cool, man. I love it.
Because where I used to live.
Where was that, Joel?
Clinton Township, Michigan. That's where I grew up.
Oh, dude, the home of freaking,
Oh, it's so bad now. I got family out there. I got to go out there.
Man,
I'm telling you, it was Democratic blue-collar people out there when I grew up there.
Really?
It is Trump Central out there now. It is F-150s with Trump flags.
Yeah, I don't think I, because we used to play Chaplain's East out there.
Chaplain's,
way,
and, mm-hmm.
It's always been kind of red out there in my lifetime.
Nah, it's
that,
well, listen,
I remember.
Here's, and I'm not making this up. And I say this with all due respect to you and your people. Probably 2 months ago, so before the election, I was out that way, and I stopped at an intersection, and on one corner, there was a giant thing of Trump flags and Trump merchandise set up in the parking lot that was being sold by black people.
Nice.
I'm not making that up.
Hey, man, now, I saw a similar thing in Texas.
Yeah.
Dude was selling the biggest Confederate flags I'd ever seen in my life. Totally a Mexican. I was like, way to stick it to the man.
Now,
dude,
you can say that this is just some brothers hustling. And if they are, hey, good for them. But you know, trying to make money, right? You know?
Hey, they know where the market is.
And I guess so, but who knows? You know, you would think you want to be a, you know.
Black people have learned to get in where we fit in. You know.
Exactly.
And we're going to hustle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, doesn't matter.
Here's the thing, though. In Trump's America, though, this is probably a good time to be anti-Trump as a comedian, I would think.
It's just so hard to talk about it, though. People are so insane.
It is.
I don't get it, man.
Yeah. And you know, you got to understand those people are in the audience. And maybe there are things. I always say, like, when I'm teaching comedy class, I always say, like, you know, if you want to talk about Trump's hair, anyone will laugh at that. Doesn't matter if you like him or not. But when you get into the other stuff, they're going to have a problem, you know, and, you know, you don't divide the room.
It's got to be hilarious. You know, the way I touch on it for a hot second and it's cute and funny and then I'm off of it because I feel like unless that's the kind of shit you do.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with it.
Right. Yeah.
Because I think people come out to get away from it, actually.
Yeah.
So And I have so much shit to talk about myself. I don't need to talk about that dude. It's all about me, Joel.
It's all about Brian McCree this weekend at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle.
Yeah, tell them the times.
Four shows, yeah. Friday, 7:15 and 9:45. We got Saturday, November 30th at 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Go to comedycastle.com and get your tickets for that.
Yeah, come bring the family, bring not out. The kids.
Is okay, you would say, but you know, if you're 18 and up, no? 18? They can wait 18.
Yeah, is it 18 and up?
Yeah, it's 18 and up. We don't do an all-ages show. Occasionally, we'll do some all-ages show if it's some guy from YouTube or something.
But shit, by 18, you've seen it all, right? I mean, I introduced my kids to Eddie Murphy when they were young teenagers.
Oh, my God. I think about stuff that I watched, because, you know, I was that age of, and probably too, cable television got big when I was about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that HBO, the comedy half hours, all the Eddie Murphy specials.
Yeah.
But I mean, I remember being a kid, you know, in the fifth grade watching, you know, a Buddy Hackett special on HBO.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times, man.
You imagine shit. Throwing a 10-year-old kid a Buddy Hackett routine now?
Hey, Joe, we were back in the 60s, we were like, 11, 12 down in the basement listening to Richard Pryor.
There you go. The Richard Pryor albums and
Red Fox.
Because,
our parents would have these party albums.
Party records. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they were hilarious.
Rudy Ray Moore. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize, like, I had the opportunity. Have you ever seen Rich Little live at all?
No, I've never seen him live.
Dude was blue as fuck live.
Was he?
Blue, dude.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing him on Ed Sullivan and Carson and all that. Yeah. And a buddy of mine and I, we went and saw him in L.A. And him and a bunch of other guys, man, it was like a tribute to Sid Caesar.
Okay.
And John Knotts was there. And fucking Rich Little did a set. I was like, oh, shit. It was hysterical. It was blue as fuck. I loved it.
I don't know. I haven't seen. I'm assuming he still performs. I don't know. Do we know?
I don't know. I haven't heard his name in a while. He would have to be quite old.
But I would also think that unless he's, you know, spit shine that act, he's probably everybody he impersonates must be dead at this point. But maybe that's a hook. Like, here's George Burns. Yeah, you know.
No. He's probably doing Denzel and shit now.
You think so? I don't think Rich Little's doing Denzel. That one I don't see.
He's probably doing he's doing the classics, Joel.
Those are the new classics. You think he does a walk-in? Do you think he does a Christopher walk-in?
Of course he'd have to do walk-in, right?
I think you're going to get a Reagan and a Nixon and Ed Sullivan, Johnny Carson.
That's a really big shoot.
George Burns.
No way.
Jack Benny. He would do Jack Benny. I've never seen, like, I remember being a kid, I've never seen Jack Benny, but I would turn on TV and everyone was doing Jack Benny. I go, who the hell is Jack Benny? I don't know.
Oh, he was huge, dude. Any young man, you probably don't know who that dude is.
I know them all now. I mean, I'm a student of comedy now. But as a kid, you know, you would see. And you did. Some of these people just lived in impressions. They just lived on that way, you know, where you know, you'd see these impressions.
Well, how old are you, Joel?
I'm 52 years old.
So, yeah, you missed a whole genre. You missed a whole lot of years of, you know. Old classic Bob Newhart and shit like that, you know.
Yeah, it was
before the shows.
I was just a little bit older than that stuff. The you know, 'cause I remember variety shows, but they were so bad and watered down by the time I was watching them, you know.
So what was out when you? What kind of variety shows were back? They wasn't Cher and shit like that.
No, I remember Barbara Mandrell and the Mandrell Sisters.
Oh, that's
I remember
horrible.
That one. Yeah, it was horrible. And I remember stuff like, you know, Hee Haw and Lawrence Welk.
Hee Haw.
You watched Hee Haw?
Yeah, of course. That's all that was. We had three channels, dude. And the shit came. I think it came on after like Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom or some crazy shit. And, you know, black people, we used to like to watch lions fuck people up. You know?
Remember, and then I remember, like, the daytime things were like Mike Douglas, Dinah Shore.
Merv,
yeah. And then at night it was really just Johnny Carson. But I didn't even see, you know, Carson and Letterman. I remember being at summer camp, like, with my family. And they would let us stay up, and I discovered Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the mid-80s, maybe late 80s, on a little black and white portable television.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, you guys were struggling, weren't you?
But that was the thing. I mean, you couldn't stay up late otherwise. So.
Yeah, you poor kids, man.
Nah, it's all good, man. Hey, we turned out all right. Your generation turned out all right. The next generation, I don't know.
No, these kids are soft, dude. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but they're smart, aren't they? Are they smarter or are they dumb? I don't know. Because some people say they're dumber now because you don't have to know anything. Like, you had to memorize stuff because you couldn't just pull out a phone and look stuff up.
Well, I think they're super tech smart, but super street dumb, you know?
All right.
You know, even my wife is naive, you know? I think she's gotten better at it, but I remember the first time she came when I was living out in L.A., she came to visit. We're walking into a drugstore, and some guy's like, hey, and I kept walking. She's like, Brian, hey, that guy act like he knows you. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know one other motherfucker in L.A. Come on, girl. Get the fuck out of here. Get with the program, man.
That's the scam.
No, that's...
I did. I remember being a kid, and I said to Mom, I go, Mom, this lady ran out of gas. She needs a dollar. She's like, no. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are we not helping this lady? She ran out of gas.
Yeah, everybody needs a dollar, dude.
I was so dumb.
Yeah, you were naive, but that's good, though.
And, you know, had my mother given her a dollar, who knows what a rube I would have been.
Well, she taught you were sheltered, which was good that you, you know, could be that naive in your world. That was all good. Your mom did a good job.
Mom did a good job. There you go.
Yes, she did.
That's it. All right. Well, let's wrap it up on there. A little family memory, Thanksgiving week. Brian McCree back at the Comedy Castle. Should be a great
week. I'm excited.
Be great. Four shows. Get in there. Get them. Come on.
Let's do it. Come on, people. Come on out.
No Thursday. No warm up.
No.
That's what we call the Thursday night. That's warm up night.
That's right. Right. We got to go right into it hard.
Go right into it.
Friday.
Big crowd for you on Friday night and Saturday. Two shows each. Brian, thanks so much for talking to me. I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
It was a pleasure, Joel. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, buddy. We'll see you this weekend. Bye-bye.
All right, my friend. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Could have talked all day. I know I say that on this show, but we could have talked all day. We'll talk plenty this weekend. Brian McCree hitting the stage for the first time in a long time, pre-pandemic. Come on now. You got to come to this one, guys. Also want to let you know, I believe we got, let me just double check this. Is it 2-for-1 this weekend at the Comedy Castle? It is. So come on out to the Comedy Castle. If you buy your tickets online, it is buy one, get one free. If you buy them online, so go to our website, comedycastle.com. Buy one, get one free. Come on now. You got to do it. It's this weekend. If you got nothing planned, bring the family out. Everyone will enjoy Brian. He's one of the good guys in comedy, one of the funniest acts that you will see. I really enjoy talking to him. I've enjoyed working with him. And I want you guys to come out this weekend, all right? Please do that. This week is going to be a good one. Enjoy the holidays. I want to thank everybody for supporting this show all year long. And we're going to we got a lot of great shows in December. We'll have some fun interviews for you then. And really looking forward to this week. Detroit to LA Tuesday, night before Thanksgiving Wednesday. Brian McCree on Friday and Saturday. You can't do much better than that. Let's get you out of here, guys. Have a great holiday. Come check out Brian McCree this weekend. We'll catch you next week, guys. Bye-bye.